Australians are often given the dubious distinction of being one of the most indebted nations in the world. Thanks to easy credit, most of us live with debts that suddenly become a problem when income dries up or when sudden disaster hits. For journalist and author Royce Kermelovs, that moment was a car accident. He found himself confronted by a debt collector demanding an amount of money that threatened to ruin him. But instead of despairing, he decided to investigate the bigger picture, and the result is a book. It's called Just Money. Royce came into the Wire studios and told me about the incident that began it all.
And it was a really, really bad day in what was otherwise, you know, a bad month. I was coming through an intersection and I looked up, I checked to see the way it was clear. And, you know, I swear to this day that the way was clear, but it turns out it wasn't. I was very, very wrong. I ended up connecting with another car that was coming in the other direction and wrote off that car. Thankfully, everyone involved was all right. No one was hurt. No one was injured, which is the main thing. But immediately from that point, I knew that I was in a bit of trouble. I was dealing with an insurance company who were coming after me for the cost of the car that I hit. It was about 20 grand.
So you weren't insured. This is the key point here. Your car wasn't insured. You hit somebody else, so you were liable to pay.
In short, yes. And, you know, people ask why. Well, why didn't you have it? And look, basically, it was a mistake.
Being a journalist, you actually ended up chasing this up. There were some issues and you chased it up as a personal thing to fight it to a certain extent of having to pay. But at the same time, you've also gone for the much, much bigger picture of debt. You know, it would just be like bad luck, you weren't insured, pay up, if there wasn't for this fact that Australia is so totally indebted, and that's what you started to look into.
Well, yeah, and yeah, and essentially, like, you're writing about debt to get out of debt kind of appealed to the hooligan of me at first, because, you know, once you start looking at this and doing research and looking at the numbers, you find out that, you know, the Australian economy is basically a pyramid of credit. For the last 30 years, we've been solving every financial problem by encouraging people to take out loans. That is problematic. And as I learned more, I started to see the, you know, bigger picture of this unfolding. And then once you start asking about that, you start asking, right, how did this happen? What is the experience of this? How do people live with this stuff? And from that, you can start to pull out a series of different stories from people who I met and who I talked to described the whole sense of time being warped from, you know, their debts, you know, where in the past where they could plan months and weeks in advance, suddenly it shrunk down to days and even hours in some cases. Other people talked about the sense that they were working harder than ever, they were making more money than ever, but they were still feeling poor, you know. Well, what happens if there's a big external shock, you know, something like maybe a pandemic? And when those sorts of things happen that affect us all, we're all at risk because of the fragility in the system that we've created.
Part of the reason for that, though, is that there's money in debt, and that's what the whole system realised back in the 80s. Can you explain that, what you call the watershed moment when everything changed for Australians, for the average Australian?
Debt's a big business. It's a multi-billion dollar business. It employs thousands, you know, even just the act of collecting debts employs thousands of people across the country. This didn't come out of nowhere. This has been an inevitable product of a series of choices that were made 30 years ago. In that post-war period, we had what was a debtor's paradise. We'd set up the country and the economy in a way to benefit people who owed money and to allow them to pay it off quickly, to, you know, generate assets, to, you know, and to pass those assets down onto their kids. But then in the 80s, that changed. We reversed who benefits. So instead of benefiting people who owed money, we came to benefit people who lent money. And that was through that kind of financialization, that, you know, open slather approach to markets, to allowing, you know, banks to, you know, to deregulating the banks, to deregulating real estate, to, in the short term, and it unleashed a wave of consumer spending. Suddenly everyone can get a loan, whether it's through your credit card, through payday lending, through, you know, your mortgage. And the size of those loans began to increase with asset prices. And over time, our entire economy got built up on not producing anything of value, but increasing the value of asset prices. As that increases, we get more indebted. And that's fine for the first 15 or 20 years.
Well, it's fine till it falls apart, isn't it? Which was what we've seen with the pandemic in a way. It's exposed what it does mean when suddenly the income stops.
It leaves us all fragile and vulnerable to these external shocks, because over time it puts pressure on people's incomes to the point where they cannot sustain a sudden change. There's no slack. There's nothing left over to cover them in case of emergencies.
So what would you say at the moment is the sign of this? Like, what is it doing to our society?
I wrote this book in the lead up to the pandemic. So And even then, you can see in the tea leaves that something was coming. You can see that we are at a point where this is becoming unsustainable. You can see it in the political debates we had about what to do about housing prices and access to housing for the young. You could see this in everything for the way the government was talking to people about, even in areas where it should be immune to this thinking, the government was talking to people on Social Security about, you know, with robo-debt in the same way that the private sector talks to the rest of us. It was just becoming unsustainable. And so something was going to happen, just a question of what. And then seemingly, out of nowhere, the pandemic hits. And that places a massive, massive stress on the system. Suddenly people can no longer go to work. If people can no longer go to work, you can no longer pay for your mortgage. Everyone's kind of, at this point, holding their breath to see what happens.
There's a kind of feeling in the air, isn't there, that it's almost maybe a return to socialism, universal basic wage. There's all this talk about how this is time for governments to step in and start looking after the community again.
Well, and that's actually a really good observation, because where we are now in the timeline, if after World War II you had 30 years of running a system that eventually broke down, then you had to kind of create a whole new one, which then created this society of indebted, this debtor society. We're now at a point where, well, that's breaking down again, and we should be writing a whole new system.
Journalist and author Royce Kermolovs, and his book Just Money is published by the University of Queensland Press.